Welcome back, everyone. This is Jovan, and this is episode 4 of The Secret Podcast. Okay. Today's episode is a little different. Instead of having a one-on-one interview slash conversation, I have two guests this time. Both are female again, so this entire podcast, I've yet to actually have a male interviewee, but I'm sure that'll come in time. So, guest number 4 and 5, please say hello.
Hello. How are you?
So, the three of us know each other rather well, I think that's fair to say. We've been in each other's lives a pretty good deal.
All
so.
Of your life.
Yeah, that's true. Not to give away any age or anything, but so it's good to have you on in general. And so without further ado, I'll just jump right into it. And then either of you can answer at any times. I could maybe direct a question at one of you. Who knows? I never thought I'd do this, so yeah, it'll be fun. So first off, what is slash was your profession? I can go to either of you guys.
I was a registered nurse, but I stayed home and raised a family for the first 25 years. Then I went back to nursing.
And how long did that last?
Just 10 years. And I have since retired, and I'm enjoying my old age.
Nice. And what about you?
I had a variety of jobs, but mainly secretarial office work. And then I stopped when I started a family, and then I have been fortunate enough to stay home ever since.
Nice. And so what's, I'm sure everyone knows what goes into nursing, but I don't know if it's just me, but I'm curious what goes into being a secretary, other than answering the phone.
In the olden days?
Yeah, was there a lot of file organizing, or was that someone else?
It's very different than what it is now. There was filing and typing and answering the phone and just a lot of general clerical duties, really.
Yeah.
Boring by today's standards, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Very little computer work. Like, I started to use a computer in my last job, but it was very simple, very basic.
Was it like a Windows 98? What kind of software were you using?
I can't remember. I don't even think it was software. It literally
it was
just
a cube,
input.
You know?
Yeah, it was one of those great big huge things, and it was just inputting information from paper in there in a set program, so all you do is type in figures, and I wasn't very good at it.
it didn't come intuitively like it does to the youngins?
No.
Yeah. Okay, so next question, and this one is has been known to all guests as the most vague question of them all, but how was your early life teaching you? Was it lonely, packed,
you
hectic,
mean
calm?
Our childhood?
Yeah, early
my
life.
My childhood was wonderful.
So was mine. Yeah. Although, would you like to elaborate on yours?
Well, I always say my childhood were the best years of my life, but then I enjoyed my school years. They were also the best year of my life. Then I got married and had children, but of course they were the best years of my life. And now here I am in the best years of my life.
So it's lasted
a long time.
Yeah, that's amazing how for you, every single stage of your life, that was the best
and it
kept going.
I even enjoyed it when my children were teenagers.
Wow. What would be the hardest stereotypically for a parent? Is it the baby portion, the toddler, the kid, or the teenager? Once they're an adult, they tend to get out of there.
Well, being a nurse certainly helped me when they were babies. So that was no problem. And I enjoyed the teenage years, so they were no problem. But I've got good kids.
That's true.
That is the secret to it all.
Yeah. Does that come from just lucky genetics, or was it good parenting?
Oh, it's definitely good parenting.
Yeah, exactly. Very nice.
For me, it was the teenage years, I think, because it was very hard to let go of sort of the control. You know, for so many years, you made decisions for them. You took them places. You had the final say. You made decisions, big or small. And then all of a sudden, when you start into your teenage years, and they, not rebel, but, and as they should, make their own decisions and certain things, that was hard for me, you know. And sometimes it still is.
Yeah, I guess.
You know.
Just all around, yeah. Well, yeah, because what is the defining moment when your kid becomes independent? It, like, obviously, I guess it happens slowly so you don't recognize at the time, but looking back, is it when they're, like, 16 or even 13? It's like...
No. I don't think there's any real set time. You can say it's when they move out of the house. Some move out and never come back.
Yeah.
But nowadays, in general, they move out and they come back, and they move out and they come back.
The economy, yeah, it's no fun.
So
unless you get your doctor,
it's. I don't know. There is no, I think, defining moment as to when, you know.
Yeah.
When the child becomes. Break.
No, not really.
But I think there does come a time when the child is, say, in their early 20s or whatnot.
Where they should
be. You have to let go and let them make their own decisions. Help them if they ask for help. Leave them alone when they don't ask.
Yeah. I guess.
Would that almost be like a second form of post more? What's it called when a mother potentially has a form of depression when leaving her child alone?
Oh, postpartum.
Postpartum, yeah. So there's a postpartum when there's a baby, but
that's
is there almost a second?
Thing. Yeah, but that's a hormonal thing.
It's not the
really,
same as
after you've given birth.
Yeah, yeah.
When a child leaves the nest, you know, and that happened. I mean, for me, when my eldest went away to school, for about a month before and after, that I really felt it then. Just because, you know, you're so used to having, and didn't go that far. But just the fact that somebody was always there and your routine was what it was, suddenly it was all going to be very changed, you know. You're missing that one person in the house. You get used to it fast enough. But, you know, I don't think anymore you can say there's any one particular time where, and I think there's very few kids who are that dependent, independent, that they just grow up and are gone.
And disappear, yeah.
We're not
birds, yeah. And they say... And I don't know how much validity there is behind this, but they say with humans specifically, because obviously other animals grow up by the age of one or whatever, and then they just fly or they go run away and make their own family or whatever. But with humans, obviously we take the longest to grow up, but it's because our brains are so big. And it's like the more I grow up, the more I realize how people don't really even grow up at all. Like a lot of people still have their childlike sensibilities, whether it's in their mannerisms or whatever. Like I was part of a book club that was full of 60 and 70 year olds, and they started this drama that ended up making me leave. Obviously I was completely separated from it because of the generational thing. I was the youngest one there, but for all, they were acting like they were in high school. Like a lot of them were like having trouble with each other and they were dealing with it in really immature ways. And I just found that kind of curious. So it's like,
well, I think those kind of things, there's no age limit on
maturity.
Not that it's even a maturity thing. There's just, you know, you're always going to have a division of personalities.
That's true.
You know, like these two are going to get along and this one isn't going to or whatever. So I don't think it's not really, I don't think, a sign of maturity or immaturity. Do you think?
No.
Not really. Well, you can hand it, you cannot like someone. Yeah, but you cannot like someone but still be kosher around them.
Mm-hmm.
You can still be civil and then other people can't. They're just animals. 40-year-olds can act like they're 16, you know, book
petty.
Dudes.
Yeah, just little petty things.
Yeah, but I guess,
I guess
it's not related to maturity. Not much, yeah. Mm. And, okay, so for the sake of it, because this wasn't defined, but because the audio is picking up this side being the left and this side being the right, I figure I would call you guest number 4, and then on the right side of what the laptop is picking up, guest number 5. So guest number 4... how was your early life? Because we never got into that.
Great.
Your childhood.
You have to ask me a pointed question, because for me to say anything other than, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it's like nothing, yeah, like it was clearly crowded.
It was crowded.
It was definitely different from a lot of families.
How much am I to divulge by, you know, and yet still being...
And still be
a
vague. I still think you're secret. I mean, how many...
Okay.
There's people listening to this from Mississauga who have no relation to you.
Okay, well then...
You know.
Okay, fair to say. I'm, you know, at the top heap of a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So the older ones had a lot more responsibility than the little ones. So, of course, we never really liked that very much.
Yeah. Nothing you can do about it.
Yes, number 5. Yeah. But, you know, we knew what we had to do, and we pretty much towed the line. And if you didn't, you heard about it.
Tough beans, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
kind of like a mini community.
Yeah, it really
having,
was.
Having a household where there's 11 people, that's hardcore.
And there really never was any privacy. It was a big deal if you got to go and, you know, lock the downstairs bathroom door and stay in there for 5 minutes before somebody pounded on it and wanted to come out.
Yeah, true.
It was always noisy. I remember that. There was never any sort of, we didn't have a quiet house, ever.
Yeah.
but, you know, by and large, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was still good. And yeah, and then obviously the contrast from that to having less people in your house, like when
mm-hmm.
your kids moved out, like it.
Well, no, I was one of the first ones to go because I'm at the top end of the heap.
Right.
But, you know, when I got older and when I became an adult, everybody always said, well, you know, you came from such a big family. Do you want to have a big family?
Yeah.
And my immediate reaction was no.
No way.
You know, I came from,
yeah.
I did all that. I had dishpan hands when
yeah,
I was five.
Sure. You
and,
like that experience.
You know, we came
oh.
home from school. Yes, we did. We came home from school and you got to either fold a basket of socks or you got to fold a basket of diapers or peel potatoes
yeah.
or if you wanted dessert, then you had to make it. You
yeah.
know, certain things. Well, that was all fine. But no, because I had lived that life, I just wanted to and that's what I got. So.
Yeah.
And happy with that.
Yes, number five, your early life, how many siblings did you have?
I had two brothers and a sister.
Okay, I should know these things,
yeah.
knowing you so well.
Two
but,
brothers
yeah.
and a sister, and...
You were the baby.
I was the baby.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have that life, and then you got to, you know, have a...
That's
yeah.
what I always found very amazing about guest number five.
Yeah.
Because she and her husband...
Yeah.
had so many kids, and guest number five being the baby of four,
yeah,
and her husband, the eldest of only two, and yet here
oh,
they
yeah.
had, so they never had a lot of experience with, you know, a lot
being
of kids with a big family, and yet
yeah.
they created one, and it was a wonderful
totally
one,
successful.
If I do say so myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
You
know,
only
I mean,
get them one by one, and, you know.
You don't
I
know
was,
what's going to
I
happen.
Was a stickler for routine,
yeah.
so it
yeah,
made
routine
life
is a big deal.
Much, much
yeah.
easier.
Mm-hmm.
And
I only had two, but mine, I was a very routine person too.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's amazing how we stuck together. I mean, we're not estranged at all. I mean, my, you know,
yeah.
growing up for me was incredible. That's like definitely.
Well, the amazing
the
thing is that everybody lives close by.
That too. That's,
you know, in most families, they're scattered across the whole country.
You go to Cincinnati
yeah.
or you go to Vancouver
yeah.
or whatever. Yeah.
So we all stayed close And the main thing is that we all like each other.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
That is the biggest
thing. Well, that's a testament to, you know, good parents, you know.
Yeah.
So, because we do know families where they had a lot of kids and they scattered to the four winds. You go
yeah.
this way and I'm going to go that way, you
yeah,
know.
Exactly.
So there's got to be a reason for that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when I think of, like, all of the people in my life, whether it be cousins or whatnot, I don't really have a problem with any of them. Like there's obviously big age differences. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
maybe I would if I was older or if I was younger or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
it's, I always have a great time. Like, you know,
yeah.
it's, there were the certain people I was intimidated by growing up, but it, you know, that
mm-hmm.
easily disappeared when I grew up.
Somebody your age around that you can.
Yeah. Everybody had one person. Nobody
yeah.
was a stranger,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
yeah. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. Great way to grow up. Yeah. Okay. On to the next question. And this one will be a lot shorter, but what do you guys think about Canadian history? I've asked everyone that so far, so I figured I'd throw that to you. Do you guys know, are you much history buffs at all? When you
not
think specifically
really.
Canadian
history? Shamedly,
we
would
know,
have to tell
we
you
know
we
the
watch
basics.
More American history now, only because it's
oh,
such
sure.
a drama and it's such a soap opera.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's almost to the point where it's entertaining, so we follow that more than we do Canadian. But, I mean, Canadian
sure.
history, by and large, you know.
And
we
know the
we
basics.
Know.
You know the basics.
The British and the French
yeah.
came over
yeah.
and you
yeah.
know declared
yeah.
land and all that jazz.
Montcalm and Wolfe and the Plains of Abraham and all that. You know, learn it all in school.
And
yeah.
then immediately forget.
Well, it's the vague
yeah.
Knowledge
yeah.
of it is still back there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If, yeah, it's almost like the anthem. Someone starts to talk about it, you'll say, "Oh yeah, I remember that."
Yeah,
it's
but the thing is. And I don't know what would instill it in us, or in me anyway, that I love Canada. You
yeah,
know, history and everything. And I thank God every day now with all this stupid news from the States.
Yeah, all the division.
How grateful
yeah.
we are to be in this
yeah.
country.
Yeah, but it's like something like that hits you. I mean, would that shake you, or would you still be 100% for Canada?
I'd still be 100% for Canada.
Just
the
not
people.
The
yeah.
person. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Okay, yeah. That's good. That's nice. Next question is, do either of you enjoy still art rather than movies or music? Like drawings, paintings,
oh,
sculptures?
Art?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Traditional.
I love to take a look at all my pictures around here. They're
yeah,
all hand-painted by, you know, one of my daughters.
Mm.
pretty well.
We're not big museum buffs, if that's what you mean, but...
Yeah, and like modern art. Do you guys like graffiti or the weird sculptures on the corners of Toronto?
No.
Not particularly.
You guys don't like those? So.
Not really.
We're old-fashioned.
Contemporary art, yeah. Well, do you guys like Picasso at all, or is that too abstract? Like, how far does your art enjoyment go? Realistic
I don't
art.
Think either one of us are art aficionados.
No. I like something that...
It's pretty to look at.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what do you guys enjoy most? Is it landscape and pottery, stuff like that?
Well, for me, it's landscapes.
Yeah, I like landscapes.
That's the vast majority.
And birch trees and woods, like I've got in the other room there.
I gotta agree, there's something about nature.
Yeah.
Especially trees. Any sort of botanical painting is,
Well, it's calming, and it's easy to appreciate, and it's, you know, it's nice to look at. It's not something you have to think too hard about.
Exactly.
You don't have to look at something and try and read something
into it.
It's not a think piece.
Reading something into everything.
Enjoyment.
Yeah. That's no good.
That's too much work.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look at a painting to relax, you know?
Exactly. And enjoy it.
Yeah, it's self-explanatory. You don't need great thought having to, you know, figure out what this means. Yeah,
that's good. Good answer. So I am skipping some of these questions to make up the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 16 minutes in, so we still got tons of time, but a big chunk of time gets eaten up by the opinion section. So once we get there, you know what I mean. So beforehand, I'm going to skip a bunch of these. Who would either of you wish to meet, either fictional or historical? So no one alive today, anybody who was just, they could have died a year ago or non-existent, like Jack Sparrow or, you know, Jane Eyre or someone.
Well, I would be thinking more along the lines of Mother Teresa.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, imagine having a conversation with her.
I did see her once.
You actually did?
I went to hear her speak,
Where
and John Vanier, the two of them were on the program at the same time.
But,
so you
saw live on TV, or you actually...
No, we were live in person.
Where?
In
Montreal?
Hamilton?
Or
no,
in Hamilton, wow.
Yeah, I forget. I forget where exactly it was, but a bunch of us went in. It was really good.
Hmm. Nice. That's actually amazing.
Yeah.
You got to meet someone who was like super.
Well, I wouldn't say I met them,
or you saw
but
them.
I
lot.
Saw them.
Yeah, exactly. Like the times of Martin Luther King and Gandhi are sort of past me, but
yeah,
you know, there's still tons of room for growth in the world, and if some sort of person of movement came about, I mean, it'd be amazing to meet someone like that. So it's very good. What about yourself, guest number four?
I'm trying to think. Nobody's...
Like a recent book that you read or a movie? Like, would you want to meet Ethan Hunt from the Mission Impossible series?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I'd like to meet George Clooney.
There you go. He's still alive, though.
Yeah.
A caricature of his.
Yeah.
Ocean's 11,
yeah.
George Clooney.
I would have liked to have met Paul Newman. He was my favorite movie star.
Remind me who he is again, because I'm
Newman?
Familiar.
Oh, you don't know
Butch
Paul
Cassidy
Newman?
And Sundance.
Was born in 93.
Butch Cassidy. And Sundance Kid, did you ever see that? These movies were all way before your time.
He had the bluest eyes of anybody you've ever seen.
Was he fit, or was he short and stumpy?
Yeah.
What?
No, he was gorgeous.
Okay.
Yeah. I always
was he American or Canadian?
American. I always said Grandpa looked like him when he was young.
Yeah.
Was he like in cowboy movies? Or
no.
Was...
Not really, no.
What was his main thing?
You'll have to Google him. Anything and everything. Drama.
Okay.
And
he
married an actress.
And
she is still alive.
Okay.
She's in her late 80s. Just Google him and you'll see.
Okay.
Very good actor, very good. And a nice man. And he started a foundation and raises tons of money, for, I think it's handicapped kids. Isn't the hole in the wall gang?
But he made a salad dressing. That's what he made.
It started with a salad dressing, but it's a huge, big foundation that raises a lot of money. Oh. But anyways, I can't think of anybody else.
That still counts, both of you guys.
Yeah.
That's good answers. Very nice.
Yeah.
So next question, and I'm sure I already know the answer to this. I'm pretty sure this is going to be completely split down the line of like a male and female thing, but, what is your relationship with violence and do you enjoy it as entertainment? What do you guys think about it? Like, do you like MMA or
enjoy violence?
No.
The John Wick movies?
No,
hear about that?
Not at all. And I think there's too much of it in the movies nowadays.
Where it's, like, desensitizing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And to me, in the movies, it's filler. It's all filler, just like all the swear words. Can't stand it.
Yeah.
Every other word is the F word.
Yeah.
It's filler.
And I was going to say, it's surprising how little in Hollywood, or just in media in general, how little we really care about human life. And if you were to, like, kill, like, a dog or a cat or something on a movie, it's a huge deal.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
immediately R-rated. But you could, like, shoot three guys in the head and it could still be PG-13.
Yeah. Yeah.
Human
yeah.
life is, like, nothing. But an animal's life
yeah.
is a big deal. And that's just a weird... I don't know where that came from.
And talk about
in Hollywood, but it's yeah, it's just weird.
With, in the movies now, and with all the violence and everything else being desensitized, I mean, there was times, you know, go back even to, you know, when The Godfather came out in the early 70s, you know.
Yeah.
And,
oh,
and
that was intense.
The
that
mere
scene?
Thought, oh, like the, you know, the scenes and everything else, and they were so bloody, and it was like, oh, oh, oh. You know, now they'll show a close up of somebody's head getting blown up.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
And it's like nothing, nothing. You know?
Yeah, kind of takes away from the intensity that those
mm-hmm.
sort of movies brought. Because
mm-hmm.
I still haven't seen the second one, but I saw the first Godfather, and it's incredible. Like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
I gotta be honest, I didn't feel the full impact of the severed horse head, but
yeah.
when... I should know his name right off the top of my head. Who's the main character? Actor.
Don Corleone. What's his name? Marlon... Marlon Brando.
No. The,
oh,
the
Al Pacino.
Yeah, Al Pacino. When Al Pacino has to kill for the first time...
yeah.
to prove himself a man or whatever in the eyes of his father, that is an intense scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that still is, like, one of those scenes that, like, holds
mm-hmm.
to this day. That's
yeah.
why everybody says The Godfather is the best movie of all time. It beats 2001 A Space Odyssey, even though that's still the best sci-fi movie of all time.
They say Godfather 2 is even better than the first one.
Really?
I heard it's exactly as good. Like, they're both 10
oh.
out of 10s.
Oh.
And people are surprised because usually sequels aren't as good.
Yeah.
And they're like, the second one was as good, if not better,
yeah.
a lot of people say.
Yeah.
yeah.
You've never seen the second one?
Still haven't seen it, yeah. I don't know.
Did they make
doing.
A third one? No.
They did.
Yeah. Sure
a certain
they
someone we know
forward,
produced
didn't
it.
They?
Yeah, but was that the third
that was
one
the third
or the
one.
Second one?
That was part
no,
two.
No, that was
the which,
oh.
I haven't seen that one either. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah. I will for the sake of it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta get on that train.
Well, violence in movies, no. I don't watch them.
Yeah.
There's so many movies out now. Nope, not watching it. Nope,
yeah.
not watching it.
Yeah.
But what if it's used very rarely and only to progress... a plot or a character
okay.
development.
Okay, but I mean,
yeah.
you know, you...
Don't just use it for
You
color.
Accept it, but that's certainly not why you would go to see it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like a negative violent
yeah.
thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's, you know, important
mm-hmm.
when it's used. But obviously,
yeah.
we don't do that nowadays in
yeah.
movies. Anyway, so that's that one. On to the next question. Would either of you risk going on an adventure?
Sure.
Or, sure?
I would have if I were younger.
Yeah, I guess.
What kind of adventure?
Exactly, because what adventure... a lot of people that I've interviewed get confused by that, and they think a trip to Thailand or something.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say adventure, I mean adventure is an unknown journey. That's what makes an adventure. So there's that inherent risk of you don't know what's going to happen when you get there or what risks are entailed, right? So most people that I've interviewed, and all of us are suburbanites, I'm the only one who's drawing this correlation so far, but I feel like because of that, we're more risk-averse. Than someone who might like live in the city, you know, or someone who lives in a farmland who's just dying to get away. They might be more.
Well, it depends again what you're talking about with like what you mean by adventure.
I could give an example because yeah, then you get into specifics. Let's say someone finds a map
yeah.
to the lost city of El Dorado,
okay.
and it's somewhere in Central America, and
yeah.
it's a city of gold. If you were to find it, you'd go down in history, and you'd be the richest person for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you risk going on that adventure?
No.
If
at this stage
if
in
I
my
were
life,
21,
no.
If I were 21 and had
yeah.
an entourage to go with me
there,
yeah.
and
yeah,
take care
entourage.
Of all the incidentals,
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
yeah.
We're creatures of comfort now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's no way. Like,
yeah.
You know, do I get a good bed while I'm there? The shower? 3 meals a day? So,
yeah.
you know.
You're too
when
accustomed
you're,
to
when
comforts.
You're young and your mind is open, sure. Go with
go
the flow.
Town.
Do what you want. Somebody give you the money and the plane ticket to go and do these things. You know, pop your uncle. Go have a good time.
Adventure, yeah.
No, I like my couch
yeah.
and my house
and
my
your life
and my
changes
bed.
Once you have children.
Once there's responsibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah, without
so
responsibility.
So you ask that question of people of every generation, you're going to get a different answer with every generation. You know?
So far, no. Everyone's the little kids that I'm interviewing. I mean, a couple years younger than me. Saying nope.
They're
no,
saying no.
They're saying
well.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
My second guest was only 21 years of age. And she said, no, no way, Jose. So,
well,
yeah, so, you know.
Would you go?
Yes. And I can't be the only one, so we'll see. With all future installments. Okay, I'll carry all the ins and outs. And
okay.
I'll piggyback.
Yeah.
All right. What else do I have here? Okay, so this one, I don't know which way it'll go, but I'll ask anyway. So, a Never Have I Ever, I don't know if you guys know that game, doesn't really matter, that you would do versus a Never Have I Ever that you would never do. What comes to mind? Like, what is something that you haven't done that you never plan on doing in your life that, like, someone else would find acceptable? Obviously not jumping into volcanoes. Like, no one would do that. What's something that other people do but you have no interest in?
I know. We would never go to Thailand or Vietnam.
Yeah, no.
Anyone? No?
No.
No, that part of the world does not interest us.
Yeah.
The developing country aspect?
No, not that. I don't know.
Too hot and crowded.
Just not a few.
Yeah, population's crazy. And
yeah.
The heat's not fun, especially
the
humidity. That's the thing that would kill me.
Exactly.
Because I'm already super hot-blooded as it is.
Yeah.
So winter I'm okay with because my body just heats itself up. But in the summertime, I could pass out.
Yeah.
And it's too volatile, I think, weather-wise. Not just politically, but weather-wise. Like, there's earthquakes and tsunamis
and
volcanoes.
Typhoons,
You know?
Dangerous place.
Yeah. And I've just become, like I've said many times before, I don't really travel, but I can go all around the world sitting on my couch. Nowadays, everything that's available on TV, I've been there. I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you get a better view sometimes. It's like going to a ball
game. That's true. Yeah.
Going to a ball game.
But not being able to see
Or watching a ball game on your big screen TV in your big comfy couch.
Yeah.
And it's right up next to you.
Yes.
Rather than in person.
And you can see everything. You go to a stadium, you're up in the nosebleeds, and you're paying a small fortune for your snacks. You can sit home and have beer and popcorn and watch it on your big screen TV. So again, these are all, these answers, you're asking someone of our age, so you're going to get the old age lady answers,
Okay, but then what is something you've never done that you'd like to do? So just bucket list. Anything left on it? I mean, Egypt... It's pretty amazing.
Been there.
She's been
there. That's what I'm saying.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
I always wanted to go to Hawaii. I went there.
You wanted to go to Ireland?
I wanted Ireland.
Because that's
missing. I've never
been
to Italy a couple of times.
You've been
to
Italy, yeah, but you haven't been to Ireland.
Been to Spain. Been to Mexico.
Yeah. You'd go to Ireland and see someone who looks just like you, and you'd be like, oh.
Yeah. No, it's too late to go to Ireland. I'll have to.
Just see it in your dreams?
Yeah, I'll see it in my dreams.
I can't think of something that I haven't done that I would like to do.
Yeah. Whether it's a place or an event.
Well, it's not
like
a
Vegas.
Travel item.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be travel.
I haven't done that I would like to do. I'll have to think about that more.
Like get a tattoo, but only when you're really old.
Oh, no.
They always say never get a tattoo because when you're older, it'll look terrible. But what about when you're older? Then you get one. When you're 85, get a tattoo.
No, thanks.
Listen, God gave you beautiful skin. Why would you go and mark it up?
But that's the same with why would you pierce this beautiful body?
Exactly.
Piercings you can throw away. Tattoos you can't.
Goes back.
Yeah.
I've said that many times.
I don't know.
No, it's very hard to do.
It's
expensive.
And it hurts.
Yeah. I've always said that to my kids. Pierce what you want. You can take them out and throw them away. You can't. Can't with a tattoo.
Unless it's spacers, then it doesn't fill back in.
That's true.
So to a point, piercing, but not spacers.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, and then I'm not even going to ask you the luxury versus love question. The whole, would you choose a life of luxury but not have love? Or would you choose a life of love but financially is always hard? You guys have already lived your lives.
So you've
answered the question through existing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we come to the opinion section. Where I say, what is your opinion on, and then a word.
Okay.
So
one word
ready.
Is all you want.
No. I say one word, and then you can just go to 10.
Okay.
We're about half an hour in. Perfect. So some of these you've actually already answered. Like, what is your opinion on tattoos? Both of you, harsh nada.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
And then nationalism. So you are a proud Canadian.
Yes.
Are you pro-nationalism?
No.
Yeah. Because, you can't not enjoy favoritism when your country is so much better then one right beside you.
Yeah, not to crap on, you know,
it's right under us, but, you know.
Yeah.
It just makes it so much easier.
It does make it easier.
Yeah. We're doing great.
It makes you appreciate it more, that's for sure.
Yeah, I am not taking anything for granted. I love Canada. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's a great place to live. And this one, I'm sure I already know the answer, but what is either of your opinions on guns?
I think they should all be abolished.
Yeah.
The whole shebang.
Completely.
Me too.
Like, no handguns, nothing.
Handguns is actually the most dangerous. People usually think it's machine guns, but machine guns are harder to get. Pistols, like, at least in America, obviously, because in Canada, it's like you need a hunting license, but in America, pistols, anyone who's of age can just pick it up. Doesn't matter what your mental health disorder is. And most people die from pistols than anything else, right? So even though machine guns get on the news, and it's terrible and tragic whenever someone uses it, every single day in California, someone shot and killed by a pistol.
Well, the machine
every
guns
day.
are the mass killings.
Those are the mass killings,
but
pistols
the
are the secret individual killings.
Which is
keeping the population down, I guess. I have no idea, but
I think they should be.
Yeah.
I think they should all be banned.
Yeah, because they're a product of history, obviously. So without it, someone else might have won the certain wars. We have no idea what could have been if guns never existed, or they exist in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
But then now they're here, so we got to deal with them. So you got to say abolish them.
I say abolish them.
Because there'd be protests and stuff, but...
So what?
Well, look at Australia. Didn't they...
I was going to say, Australia and
them.
England,
they
the policemen in England have batons.
Yeah, how many shootings
happen there, right?
Yeah, so they should follow
their
example.
Rare. Yeah,
you know, if it works for them, it'll work for other countries too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, the majority of European countries, that you look at the gun shooting rate compared to America, and it's like there's a, it seems like there's some sort of war going on in America. How many people die by guns? It's
crazy. I was just watching the news the other day. 12 people were shot over the weekend in Chicago.
Yeah,
in Chicago alone.
Or what?
Like
separated
people.
Incidents? They're
all
just
separate
it's
incidents.
Weirdly high number.
All
for
one by
day.
One.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Jeez.
Yeah, and the fact that that just recently happened in Toronto, right? I mean,
where
was that? That was
Greek
in the market?
Town.
Yeah, Greek town.
On the Danforth somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, once the nut jobs hear about stuff like that...
It incentivizes.
They, yeah,
it makes it easier because information is, you know, it's a powerful tool that can be used for good or evil. And you give dangerous ideas out there and people take it. Yeah, so it's one of those things. Actually, yeah, this will lead me into the next part. What is your opinion on the internet? What do you guys think about it? It's incredibly useful.
It's very useful. It's here to stay. There's, you know, there's too much stuff shown. It's not just the internet, it's TV. Like, I think they show far too much stuff. Like, you know, back to the guns. Like, they'll show how now they can make plastic guns and they do this and they do that. Well, you're just feeding information to the people that shouldn't have, you know what I mean?
Have the information,
I know, like, it is the people that have mental health issues. They're going to watch this and think, hey, I can watch a YouTube video and find out how to make my own gun or my own bomb, and then I'll just go and blow up something. You know, like, that kind of stuff shouldn't be televised, whether it's on TV or whether it's on a computer.
Yeah, and that brings a lot of situations where it's like, ideally, we would have a system that deals with people with mental health problems, right? Because either they'd hide it or it would come out or whatever, but usually there's telltale signs super in advance before someone actually does something violent.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we have it now with the jail system is that we just put people in a box and then it creates a mini country where you have to join a race gang, otherwise you'll get killed off or... raped or something. And if we did a better job of just finding out if someone just was desperate or if someone had mental health problems or if someone's a psychopath, and you can like sort it out rather than what we're doing now, which is just making a mini country, like a mini community of hate.
The mental health thing though, it's such a hard thing to put your finger on. It's not like, you know, you break out in a rash, okay, here's a cream for it. You've got a broken leg, there's nothing. You know, there are some people who have signs of mental illness, and you can tell, and they're watched and followed and all that kind of stuff. But you could be a perfectly normal person and show no outward signs of any mental problems, and then one day just snap.
Yeah, like
you know?
You can be polite, which is the ultimate, you know, hiding.
Well, that's what you just never know. It was like with Robin Williams. Yeah. Like, here was somebody. Yeah. I mean, he was manic. I mean, he was, you know.
People would tell that he was spastic and, yeah.
Whatever. But did anybody ever think in a million years that he would have ended up the way that it was? Maybe the people closest to him. But that's the thing. Like, outwardly, so many people seem totally fine, totally fine, totally fine, until they're not. And then it's too late. You know, whether it's with guns, they go and shoot up a school, or whether it's, you know, they kill themselves. I mean, these people have problems, and it's almost impossible for society to put a finger on it and to follow all of them all of the time, because so many of them don't even want to admit to themselves they've got a problem.
Yeah,
and it's a stigma and an embarrassment and a shame issue where they're not going to go and ask for help because they think, oh, well, tomorrow I'll be better. Or maybe, you know, in a couple of days I'll be better, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very hard, you know?
Yeah, it's almost part of the human condition. It's just one of those things that'll never be solved.
Yeah.
So it's like, we wish we could cure cancer, but cancer is a mutation.
It's so not, the thing, going back
to
the guns, you can get rid of the guns. You can't, I mean, that's an easy fix. Just get rid of them. You know, you can't, it's not as easy a fix to get rid of the people with mental illness or get rid of their mental illness for
them.
Try
and fix them,
So get rid of the thing that's going to do harm by them to others if they get a hold of it.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, that's at least a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Rather
yeah.
than an impossible task of trying
exactly.
to magically find out who's
that's right.
sick or not.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the next topic. What is either of your opinions on the paranormal and spirits in general?
I find it sort of fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether I believe it or not, but
I agree there.
The idea of ghosts.
It's interesting. You know, like I'll watch the show, all the different little shows they have, you know, the ghost hunters and this, that, and the next.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe in it either, tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Probably not.
And neither of you have had an experience before?
No.
Why, do you?
No, me neither. But it's still something worth asking, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, because tons
Some
of people
have.
Some
people would tell you they would, yeah.
Yeah, like I forget, I've had so many jobs in the past.
Hmm.
It's now getting to a point where I gotta like keep like a little wheel where I spin it. But
yeah.
So this one job, I was a shoe salesman. Got the job thanks to you. And a Christmas party happened. And so we were seated with... You know, I just started, so all of them were strangers to me. And so we were just randomly given seats where we had a table at, I think it was Canyon Creek.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just got to know these people. And so I got to a point where it's like, you know, a topic of conversation. I was like, hey, you guys like believe in ghosts or anything? And this one guy, whose name was also Joe, went on this insane rant about all these experiences that he had in his life where you heard, like, he got into a new apartment, and it was haunted, and he heard footsteps coming to the door and then banging on the door, and he opens it, no one's there, and, like, all of this stuff. And it's, like, either I'm not hanging out in the right houses, because, like, it is extremely fat. It's almost like you want to be a scientist and find out what's going on. You want to, like, you know, explore.
I think you have to be very open-minded to believe in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, probably any of us at some point in time could say, oh, yeah,
I did something.
Experience. But I wouldn't have attributed something to that.
Yeah.
Oh, here's another thing. I know someone who, if you were to interview her, she would say, yes, she has had paranormal experiences. You know this person as well.
I believe I do.
Uh-huh. And because she lived in a house and there was, you know.
Things happen.
Yeah.
That's
unexplainable. So you interview her and she will tell you her stories.
Yeah.
But so far as I'm concerned, I can't think of anything other than, you know, a picture falling off a wall, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. That happened to me one time. I got bonked in the head. I was like 11 years old playing Halo 3 or something in the basement. Or couldn't have been that old, 13 or something. And I feel this cold waft come across my shoulder, and then the picture frame fell.
Well, did somebody open the door? Was it a draft?
It was in the basement, so the windows were up high, and, you know, whatever. It could have been a ventilation trap.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Yeah, that would
a
be
a million
my
and
thought.
One explanations.
Yeah.
Other
see,
than ghosts.
But if you're a logical person, I think, or if you just...
You run the mill of other possibilities.
Yeah, you do.
Because
the practical ones before the...
Exceptional ones. Yeah, because a lot of people will blame certain things that might just be government experiments, like military experiments, as aliens. Like, there's tons of videos that look like UFOs, but it's just stealth aircrafts or something like that.
Yeah.
They're doing amazing things. Like, there's this one that I thought was unexplainable for the longest time. It was like a beam of light that came down and then stopped and then, like, spread out and became four dots. And
mm-hmm.
it was the craziest looking thing, and it happened in Russia. And it turns out it's this ballistic missile they're testing that stops in the middle of the air without crashing. It's like
mm-hmm.
a fail-safe. Incredible technology, but it's like, oh, it wasn't aliens.
But there are some things that they can't explain.
That's true, yeah.
I enjoy watching stuff like that.
As far as I can tell, you know, it's like we know so much about the world at this point, but we still don't know what's under the sea. The majority of the sea is completely unexplored, and we know nothing about.
Like, what happened to that ship? You remember a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
It sank in the Indian Ocean? It was a plane that went down.
The Malaysian Airlines?
Yes. How did they find no trace of that?
I'm going to think Russians blew it up. Could be wrong. That's a theory.
Blow it up or not blow it up? Even if it went in, it was intact and it went in. Wouldn't they, I mean, they have to know the general area where it went in. Can't you find one little remnant of something?
A driftwood,
a floaty,
anything.
Yeah, so see, this is where maybe the paranormal comes in.
Yeah.
Or the Bermuda Triangle.
The Bermuda Triangle.
We've all seen those stories.
That's true. The Bermuda Triangle, though, I recently watched a video where someone tries to debunk the idea of the Bermuda Triangle because the exact same thing exists in the Japanese sort of area, the Indonesian Ocean, that kind of thing. And it's called, like, the Dragon's Triangle or something like that, and it's the exact same thing, and the stories are really similar, but a lot of it has to do with, I think, underwater volcanoes hold these bubbles of poisonous gas that go up and then erode ships and then the ships sink, something like that. But obviously that can't explain everything, because there's airplanes that like disappear. They don't even crash.
The
whole, disappear.
Right.
There, I don't know when it happened, but there were several airplanes went down at the same time. Like they were
some sort of electromagnetic
shock. USA crafts. They were out on
like
maneuvers
army
or whatever.
Yeah.
And they all went down together. Like
that stuff is weird. There's gotta be
crazy stuff going on in the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, and they say too that there has to be other life somewhere in the universe.
Well, because they say that life stemmed from water, and we can find
water
on
and carbon.
And we can find that stuff on asteroids.
Yeah.
Like there's I posted on my Twitter, so I'll show you guys after this. There is a video that was taken from a satellite that they landed on an asteroid or a comet that was coming. No, it must have been an asteroid coming near Earth. They landed on it, and it was snowing, and there was a frozen lake on this whatever 23-kilometer big asteroid that's just in the middle of space. It's insane. So you don't need oxygen to have ice, you know? You just need hydrogen.
Yeah.
It just needs to be frozen.
Yeah.
And there's the moon Europa that rotates around Jupiter, which is the closest gas giant. It's an entire planet that's frozen.
Yeah.
And so therefore there's an ocean underneath that's being warmed by the core. So it's like on the base there could very well be alien life.
Well, all that stuff is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I find it super interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some people couldn't care less, but it's like for me, anything that's that borders the fringe of science and science fiction, right? Because Star Trek, they had weird cell phone thingamajiggies and automatic doors. All that stuff seemed completely insane.
Yeah.
And now it's grocery stores have automatic doors and they have all this on cell phones.
Yeah.
So it's incredible, but that kind of stuff fascinates me. Anyway, so next one, what are either of your opinions on the idea of feminism? Do you guys know a lot about that political movement?
Not really.
Not too much. I guess, it's a younger
I
time.
Think women deserve respect
equal
pay for equal work and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But as far as I can see, they're getting it, aren't they?
It depends on the business or the corporation or whatever. But
I wouldn't say corporation, but specifically the it's you're hearing most about it through Hollywood now because it's anything that's contract work is where they try and sting women. So obviously it's illegal to pay women less at like a McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has to get paid the minimum wage.
Oh, really?
It's complete equality.
Yeah.
Oh, just any place. Any place has to get paid the government legal minimum wage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but when it comes to contract work, that's when if you're a contract for hire, whether it's as an actor or as a hitman or whatever, right? Like any sort of job that is contract work, that's where I think the statistics are coming in with the whole 70 cents for a dollar thing. But, and it's like, how can you change that, right? They're trying. I think the latest Jurassic World movie that came out, the main male actor said that he won't do that movie unless the main female gets the same pay, even though she was less popular, right? People don't want to see Chris Pratt, but they both, they worked. And, you know,
yeah.
That's one little step, but whatever. Yeah. Is what it is. Mm-hmm. The future, who knows what the future holds as far as political movements go. We need to regress, and then we can all fight for the same cause of equality again. Because I'm pretty sure we're like, you know, we're close enough there. Obviously, everyone isn't getting the same, but, you know, it's not the same as it was in the 1950s when women couldn't vote.
Well, I think the bottom line is equal pay for equal work.
And as far as
being able to vote,
feminism affecting us individually, it's never affected me.
Well, when did it become a thing where women were legally allowed to vote? Didn't it happen in, like, the 1960s?
No.
Do I have that wrong?
Vote. That was in the 20s.
In the 20s. Uh-huh. I have that completely wrong? Then what was it? There was some sort of legal movement for women in the 60s. Unless I missed it, the women's rights movement.
I think that's when they started to become a lot more vocal, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Maybe it was to work in different places.
Yeah.
Because before then, it was like, you can just be this or that or whatever, maybe. You know,
well,
firemen.
You know, there's so many...
Well,
never used to be as many women executives.
When I was growing up, you had a choice of being a school teacher, a secretary, or a nurse.
Yeah.
That was it. Or go out, don't bother going to school, and go out and get a job in a store, retail, like...
Or in a diner or whatever.
Yeah.
Or what was that one job where you switch the telephone lines?
Oh, the telephone operator.
Phone operator. Or you stayed home.
And,
you know, the minute you got married, you didn't work.
Yeah, no, you never even gave a thought of going back to work.
It was just
like
part
was
of normal life.
Of.
Right?
Yeah.
In fact, if you went to work after you were married and started a family, it was almost frowned upon. It was like, oh, poor you, you know?
Yeah, and that's super interesting how that works, because that's totally a cultural thing and not like a basic thing that someone thinks of.
Mm-hmm.
That's stuff that's made up, because it's like in Japanese culture, if you tip someone, they become extremely offended. It's not at all like what it is in the Western world.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like, why are you giving me charity? Like, do I look like I'm like raggedy or something?
Yeah.
Like, they take extreme offense. But if you don't tip here, they take extreme offense. Like, you just...
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's crazy how different times, different countries.
But because we tip, the owners of the place
get to
aren't
pay them below
paying
minimum wage.
Them enough.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's legally allowed for
them
to do that.
It.
Only in places that tip can they legally give them less than minimum wage. It's terrible. So the only way to fix that is everyone stop tipping.
Yeah.
They don't tip in Europe.
Tip in Europe?
No. Oh. Totally abnormal to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that the first little while. I went to Belgium. People get looking at me weird. I'm like, oh, you can keep the change, like going to a bar or whatever. And they're like, wait, you don't like change? Like, there's a weird
habit.
Yeah. Oh. I'm like, I'm tipping you. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a weird time. Because they have other things. They have complimentary stuff, or you pay a little bit extra, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So for them, tipping just isn't a thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Next one up. What are either of your opinions on abortion? Are you guys pro-life, pro-choice, or each to the individual?
No, pro-life. Absolutely.
You think young woman shouldn't have the right?
No.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have the right?
The right to an abortion, the right to make your own choice comes before you get pregnant.
But then that's where situations come in where they say, what if it was like a 16-year-old who was raped by her father or something?
Yeah, well, that's unfortunate.
Then it should be.
You
should abort.
I do,
It's a little demon child. Get out of there.
Yeah. No, I'm for it in a case like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't have one. But there are certain circumstances where I agree with it. Yes.
Yeah. 48 minutes. So we got about 12 minutes left. So as we close into the last 10 to 5 minutes,
uh-huh.
I usually give you both time to, you know, give any ramble or words of wisdom or whatever you want to give to the audience, that kind of thing. But we're not there yet. So before we get there, what are either of your opinions on the idea of legacy? I mean, obviously, you've created a huge family, but I don't think it's because you're super egotistical and you want to be remembered forever.
I do want to be
remembered. Yeah, you don't want to just disappear and then be forgotten.
Yeah. Who was she?
Yeah,
what was her name?
So what do you guys think about the idea of legacy? Or the name, right? Ferrani...
Yeah.
For me,
so
Dan Lansfield, that could be anyone. How many Ferranis exist in the world? There was a Ferrani in my high school. Maybe Ferrini.
Yeah.
Ferrini,
but
Ferrani.
There isn't any others here. Only in Italy. But anyway.
So the idea of legacy in that sense. Would you want a name to continue? Is that important? Or could it be wiped out?
I'm not. I like the idea of it continuing. but it certainly wouldn't bother me.
If naturally it just progressed, where
yeah,
you might not
yeah,
continue.
No, like nature takes its course.
Yeah.
We already know it's going into the next generation.
That's
yeah.
true. We got two sons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
And then for each of them, obviously, you got.
No, I mean, already, because you have a cousin who is expecting
and
with
hey.
This. Uh-huh. And
yeah.
his last name
oh.
is, so.
Yeah,
I mean,
hey,
so
yeah.
there you go. Okay,
yeah.
So we already know there's another.
We're good.
One.
Yeah, we've lasted four generations.
Because
that's
good.
That
new baby is a boy. So he's got the name.
Immediately.
So there
you
go
know.
Again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. We've already made it over 100 years, if you think of potential.
But there's only, in our family,
the,
there's only four that can produce
name.
Boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brother, his three sons. My
yeah.
other brother's one son. The one son has already done it with a boy, so the others now have to produce some boys.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, but yeah. It's crazy how that kind of thing
works. To keep the name going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but the name, how old is the name? Because
well,
I heard a rumor that it's once
I have a family tree.
So-and-so's parents came overseas from Italy, they had a name created for them, or it was changed, and it was originally something else. Is that right?
Not
or?
In our family.
Not
the Franny. So it had been that for, as far as we know, at least
yeah.
generations beyond.
Yeah, and
Italy.
The ones back in Italy are still.
There's a
okay.
bunch of them over there.
The same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that family tree goes back.
But,
not that far.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say there are no sons coming along there, but there are with the rest of them, not just that.
Well, Luca, he's a friend.
Yeah, Luca.
And if he has a boy.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the Italian that I met? He's come over like twice now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Once for a wedding, previously to the cottage. And he
yeah.
was like 12, and I was 14, and he was like 6 feet tall with a mustache.
Yes.
And
yeah,
I looked like a little
him.
Kid. I'm like, what? Like, what? Why did I get those
oh,
jeans?
That's
I did not get the Italian jeans at all. I got all
yeah.
Belgian jeans.
Oh, yeah.
My hair's coming out. I, you know, my teeth aren't the best. But other than that, I've got an athletic body. I'm pretty
there
sure
you
I'm,
go.
On that side of the family, they live to be at least 100, even
oh,
just,
yeah.
you know, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
I still got good jeans, but, you know. The vanity side has got to take its, you know.
Yeah.
It'll take a back seat by the time I'm 40 or whatever.
Well, listen,
but that doesn't bother
it's
me.
It's best to be humble.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do enjoy the idea of growing up. Because a lot of people are scared of growing old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been ready to grow old since I was 18, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
Is when I was like, I'm good to be 50.
You don't want
to
grow old. You want to grow older.
Yeah.
But you don't want to.
Yeah.
No.
I'm completely okay with growing old and dying. Is my way of looking at
oh.
it. I have no fear of that concept. Because a lot of people do. A lot of people want to stay young. Like Madonna's 60 or
yeah,
older, and she's acting like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do that. It's like,
I
already don't find any trends the teenagers do nowadays favorable. Like, I'm totally fine with just being a weird old man, you know?
Well, so you're
not
an old soul in a young person's body. You know,
that's what people say, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
And then if I were to leave on one more opinion piece... Which one do I choose? The environment. What do you guys think about the idea of preserving Mother Nature? Do you think that we're causing an effect first, or do you think the science is bogus?
No, I don't think science is bogus.
No, I think we're doing great damage.
And we should adhere to it even more than we do.
Yeah, because when the last guest that I interviewed, you all know her, she is an older woman than myself, who I've known my whole life.
Is she a teacher?
Perhaps.
Uh-huh.
She does mention her profession.
Uh-huh.
Because when I asked about the whole Canadian history, she was talking a lot about the native culture before the Europeans came over, and it was the whole idea of harmony with nature is what they were doing, right?
Yeah.
They were in a complete equilibrium. They migrated. It's the exact same thing the animals did. They migrated with the seasons
mm-hmm.
rather than dominating nature, building a city. It's like, obviously, you have to do that with the population we have now for sustainability. We can't just all migrate, but... In America, they'd be a lot less chunky if they got up and moved around, depending on the seasons.
Yeah.
And if we stop making so much plastic and processed food just to meet a capitalist demand, right?
Yeah.
I'm not offering communism or anything.
I just saw, where did I see that? Just on TV the other day that, you know, the plastic straws that you get.
They're now banned in California and Europe.
They're banned in a lot of places.
And they should be because...
But they last... Forever. You can't get rid of them.
Oh,
well,
any
more so than
years.
Any other pieces of plastic?
No, plastic, once it's made, it's there forever.
Yeah, and it sits on the bottom of the ocean. It can last up to 100,000 years. It's terrible. It'll be there long after we're dead, they say. Aliens will come.
Can't they melt it down?
All of our sculpt... It can be melted, but it doesn't melt down. So it could be, so it's just sitting on the ocean bed. But yeah. And yeah, they say aliens will come to Earth 10,000 years from now. We're all gone. All the buildings are gone. There's just nature. Yeah. And they, and but then on the ocean bed, they find plastic and they're like, there was intelligent life here once.
Yeah.
That's the only evidence that'll be left. Yeah. The pyramids will be gone. You know, all that will be gone. But plastic will remain.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But anyway, so we are in our final moments, final five. So, before it all ends, do either of you have any sort of recommendation to the audience members, whether it be books, TV, a TV show you like, anything that you would recommend currently that they could enjoy, whether it be in their house or a hiking spot or whatever? Any top recommendation?
Any hiking spot?
Or a book or movie or, you know, anything you enjoy that you'd recommend.
Well, we just saw a really good movie the other night. Mamma Mia 2.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, but yeah.
It was very, very...
Lively.
Good feeling. Good feeling movie.
That's
good. And reading is good. I think everybody should read more.
What would be your top genre? Like, what would you recommend?
Well, you enjoy? When I think back of the best books I've ever read...
Yeah.
Atlas Shrugged comes to me first by Ayn Rand. That was a, like, when you're reading a book and you don't want it to finish.
Yeah, that's
you know,
and you know you're reading a good one.
Yeah, you know you're reading a good one, and that was a good one. But I've had a lot of, I like all of, who was that guy again? My memory's going on me.
Leon Uris?
Michener.
Oh, Michener, yeah.
All his books are good, and I love them because they go so far back in history, like to the dinosaurs, and then and then the life of the dinosaur, the life of the beaver in the river, the you know.
And what kind of narration is it? Is it supposed to be just
historical fiction?
Historical fiction.
It's all fiction.
It's all based in.
It's not like the time
history.
Machine.
Yeah, that's how like Hawaii. Get the book Hawaii. There's about 10 different stories in there.
Yeah.
But they start right at the beginning.
From when it was discovered.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and the first settlers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder, when did the actual natives of Hawaii get there? How much earlier in time? Like, they must have
taken
canoes into the ocean.
They came
the
from, they came from further south, South Sea Islands.
But the
first
white
though.
People came. That was Captain Cook, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Captain Cook was a real
Captain
person?
Captain Cook, and he
sounds like a fictional character, like
Treasure
Island.
No, he was.
No,
we've
he
seen
was a real
burial
fellow.
Spot.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
so he became friendly with the Hawaiians, but they ended up murdering him.
Well, and then he brought disease to the islands. They'd never been sick before. What
maybe
was
rats
it? Chicken pox or something like that?
That's what the Europeans used to poison the natives in Canada during Thanksgiving. They gave them blankets that were... knew they infected with smallpox or something, and it wiped out a whole bunch of them. It's terrible. That was intentional, but the Hawaiian one sounds like it's just actually, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy, though. So, yeah, that's a book to look to.
Yeah, that was a lot. There's a lot of good books.
Yeah,
but
and
like everybody else, I can't tell you the last time I actually picked up a book. I'm ashamed to say, because we're constantly on...
Technology.
Yeah.
On the iPad.
Yeah.
Watching TV.
But then what are you watching? Is it sports? Is it...
there's a little bit of everything. You're playing
news
again.
Mostly CNN these days.
Well, when we're watching TV, we'll binge certain series, those sorts of things.
We're running out of time, but have you guys ever tried to switch between CNN and Fox? Because they say those are the two extremes.
Oh, yeah.
So even though one's a little...
D-watches both.
He does the both,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because you
get
the same story radically different told.
Yeah.
It's insane how different they'll tell the story.
Yeah.
It's good exercise, I guess.
But there's a big election in Ohio tonight. And
Is it for a mayor?
A Democrat. No, it's for governor. I don't know who it's for, whether
it's
congressman or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a Republican area, you know, the big red area, and they think a Democrat might win it.
Right.
So that will be a big thing.
Yeah. The place will still be divided, though. That's the harsh aspect of it. Is it still 50-50 isn't good. It's only good if it's like an 80-20 or a 70-30.
Yeah.
Right? But anyway, so we are in the last 36 seconds. Good math on that. Any parting words of wisdom from either of you?
Well, this was very entertaining, Joe. And I hope anybody who listens to this
Yeah.
Too bored.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. With our ramblings.
Who would end up listening to it now?
Anybody who follows him.
Anyone, yeah. Like, right now it's under 10 people, but it's still, you know.
But you know, like, you can tell how many are following you, can you?
Through reviews that I post on YouTube, yeah. But, yeah, thanks for talking to me for an entire hour, guys. It's
anytime.
Been great. Yeah.
Well, if I had been by myself, Joe, you wouldn't have lasted this long because I wouldn't have had anything to say.